The Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. It's hour two on The Eric Metaxas Show. In a couple of minutes, I'm talking to Dr. Stella Emanuel. Oh, my goodness. You don't want to miss this one, folks. I promise you. If you want to talk about ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, Fauci, vaccines, oh, my gosh. I don't think you're even going to believe what you hear. She has a new book out. I want to take a few minutes left to talk to Sean Foyt. Sean, honestly, what happened this weekend on the Mall in D.C., it's hard for me not to see it as prophetic. I mean, to see so many people worshiping God in this dramatic way in the center of the nation's capital. I mean, you see it as spiritual warfare. Explain that to people who don't understand what that is. I think it's a bunch of Christians singing. What does that do?
Well, you know, there's so many verses that talk about the significance of what happens when we gather and we worship and pray. You know, it's not just a religious routine. It's not just singing three fast and three slow. It says in the book of Psalms that he's enthroned on the praises of his people, meaning that when we get together, we're building a throne that's higher and more significant than the Capitol, you know, than the Senate, than the White House. We're actually establishing a place for the government of God to come and rest over our nation. And so really, when you think about it from a governmental standpoint, you know, it's one of the most powerful things we can do is gather there and worship and pray and build a throne to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Well, but it has to be real worship and real prayer. In other words, we're not just going through and just mumbling. This is really heartfelt. Our hearts are in it. And I think the way I see it, part of the reason we're going through this difficult time as a nation is that God is using this to prepare his church. He's teaching us how to pray. He's teaching us how to look to him in the midst of difficulty to say, like, no, it's not going to come from this or that. You need to look to me and you need to believe that I actually can do things. When you get desperate, you do that. And so there's something beautiful in that. I think there's some people learning to pray. There's some people learning to worship. And talk again about the 21 days of prayer that Trump mentioned, that today is day two, and how people can participate. I want everybody in my audience to do something along these lines, folks. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, it's just a practical application of everything that we are praying for. We feel like now more than ever, America needs to pray. Now more than ever, you know, you have all these verses, Second Chronicles, if my people humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their ways, I'll heal their land. We need healing in America. And so what we're trying to do right now is mobilize an army of people that can take 5 to 10 minutes a day to pray for America. Imagine the chorus of tens of thousands all across America in one heart, in one mind, praying the same thing. And so we've built an entire database system. It's taken us a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of energy to make this a very easy, simple thing for people to do. You go to letusworship.us, sign up, and you get a text to your phone or your email, a simple 3-point prayer every single day for the next 20 days. You know, today's day two. We already have close to 30,000 people signed up. My goal would be to see 100,000 people. I mean, I don't know if that's ever happened, to get 100,000 people all in sync. You know, and the Bible says one puts 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. Imagine what we can accomplish in the spirit if we are all unified praying together.
Well, I know that there are so many people that we've gotten used to things the way they are, and we kind of think like, well, God doesn't do stuff like part the Red Sea anymore. Many Christians don't believe God heals the sick or casts out demons today. They don't believe any of that stuff. And so you get inured to these things. You just sort of assume that, well, maybe somebody does it someplace, but that's not part of my reality. And I really think part of what we're going through right now is helping those who know things are desperate to say, no, God wants you to believe. He wants you to see him move miraculously. And when you do, it's encouraging. It's very encouraging. I mean, just what we saw this weekend, I mean, people's lives are being changed. Now, you can't follow up with all those people, but you know that there are people there that God miraculously changed their lives, delivered them from this or from that. Now, letusworship.us is where people go to sign up, you said, right?
Yeah, letusworship.us. There'll be a box that pops up. I also have all the links posted on my socials. If you go to my website or if you go to my Facebook or Instagram, you'll see it there as well. I teased out the first day, the first day's prayer yesterday, but really it's going to be exclusive to that list. So we're not going to be posting it every day. It's just a thing that I feel like we're supposed to call an army of intercessors right now to join together. And as I mentioned before, we're going to have some special interactive virtual prayer meetings that we're going to start one on Friday morning with Pastor Bill Johnson, who's my pastor. Eric, I'm going to have him jump in on one. We're going to have several other faith leaders from across America that are going to help guide us on this journey together.
Well, I was going to say, too, to folks listening, it'd be great for you to do this with some friends. Maybe there's a church group. Maybe there's a Bible study group. Yep. Get involved. This is a serious time in our nation. Things are coming out. These elections, I mean, the recall today, ladies and gentlemen, this is gigantic. Do you understand how huge this is? That the governor of California is being recalled and replaced because he's been weighed in the balance and found to be a bum. And I say that in love. Honestly, these folks don't deserve to represent you, but you need to take action. So we have that going on. We have Governor Cuomo in New York had to leave office. We have recounts happening all over the country. And the obstruction, Sean, you know this. The obstruction is unbelievable. If you really cared about the truth, why would you obstruct what's going on in Arizona, what's going on in Georgia? It's kind of wild. If you didn't know what to believe, you'd say, well, that's strange. Why would they obstruct this? They're obstructing it because they're scared. There's been tremendous corruption, and we're on the verge of uncovering corruption. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a big moment in American history. Be a part of it however you can, but the least thing you can do is pray. It's the most important thing, and it's something everyone can do. You don't need to how to do things politically. You can just pray. So go to letusworship.us. We're just expecting things to happen. And you know, Sean, again, when you see God do things dramatic, I mean, when Israel suddenly became a nation, people around the world, their jaws dropped. They said, how is this possible? People have dreamed and prayed about this for centuries, and it happened. We have to think big. We have to dream big. We have to believe God still wants to do things like this. And I think part of what's happening now is he is preparing his church to be his church, if I can put it that way. Let me ask you before we go, where do you go next? I hope you get to rest for a couple of days, but where do you hold these events next around the country?
You know, we're taking a break for a bit. I think we're going to be in Pennsylvania next month and Colorado next month. And then really what we're gearing up for is a big, giant New Year's party in Miami, Florida.
Miami. New Year's party. I guess technically I could get there for that. I really I love it. I just love it. I think, well, folks, we're just about out of time with Sean. Sean, I want to say thank you very, very much. I'm sitting here. Albin, you see that this hat that I have here, I can show the camera. This was signed by President Trump. And Sean, I don't know what we're going to do with this hat, but the fact that you and I witnessed this, we should have videotaped it so that people would know, like, we didn't forge this or something like that. But it was just so amazing. It was so wonderful to be there with you and your team. And I just believe that God is up to something. And Let Us Worship is a big part of that. And this 21 days of prayer is a big part of that. And I finally got to meet your beautiful family. Your family is so, you know, you're like out of some kind of an ad. It's not like a Sears ad. It's kind of like a Polo ad, a Ralph Lauren ad. You're just all blonde. And they're not just pretty, ladies and gentlemen. They know how to pray. Your 11-year-old daughter prayed beautifully in front of the White House. It was so moving. The whole experience was great. So I know now the video is up. People can watch the video. Where do they go?
They can watch the Trump speech video. Almost has 1 million views. You can go to my YouTube. You can also watch the recap videos of what took place. Yeah. You can go to Sean Foyt on YouTube, and it's all there.
Yeah, okay. And I put it on most of my social media. Sean Foyt, my brother, my friend, God bless you. Great to see you.
Great to see you, too.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Hey there, folks. This is the show. This is the show. I'm Eric Metaxas. I'm a combination of, well, visually, Susan Sontag and George Hamilton. You figure it out. I talked to really exciting people today, one of the most exciting. Some of you know who this is, and you know her story. Some of you don't, so listen carefully. My guest is Dr. Stella Emanuel. I don't know where to begin. She is a part of the frontline doctors. There's so much to say. We're going to talk about ivermectin, hydrochloric. We're going to talk about all that stuff. We're going to talk about God. Dr. Stella Emanuel, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
With you, I don't know where to start because there's so many good places to go. Let's say I want your story. First of all, you have a practice, a medical practice in Houston, correct?
Yes.
How long have you been practicing, and what's the nature of your practice in Houston?
We'll call it a general practice in Houston, and I've been practicing in Houston now for 2 years. Interesting story how God got me to Houston, but I went to medical school in West Africa, Nigeria. I'm originally from Central Africa, Cameroon, like right next to Nigeria. So I went to medical school in West Africa, Nigeria, and there we learned. Of course, we took care of malaria patients and learned how to use all these tropical medicines for malaria, like chloroquine, camopin, flavopin. So when I moved to the U.S. over 30 years ago, did a residency in pediatrics. That was what I could find. And when I got out of pediatrics, I actually started working, opened a pediatric clinic in Louisiana, and was also working in the emergency room on and off for years. So I'm kind of like a pediatrician and somebody that works in an emergency room physician. So about 2 years ago, a few years ago, I moved to Texas, got my license, and just before COVID hit in 2019, about this time in 2019, I acquired a practice here in Houston, Texas. And when I acquired that practice, it was a walk-in clinic, kind of urgent care-like. They had a lot of patients that were from the Middle East, Far East. You know, the physician, God bless his soul, passed away. And he was from China. So because of that, he was from Japan. So because of that, we had a lot of Chinese, Japanese, and just a lot of people from the Middle East, Far East that came to the clinic. So that is where we were when COVID hit. So with about 20% of my patients from China, Japan, and all that,
wow,
it was a very scary situation for us.
Well, just to reframe what you said, or to underscore it, or to clarify it in case anybody's missing the significance of this, you find yourself as a medical doctor thrust into the center of life and death situations because you have people from China with COVID. But you, if I'm picking up the clues, you're telling me that because you dealt with life and death issues of malaria in Africa, you had... What's that?
And I worked in the emergency room for years, so... So,
so what did you discover? What was your initial experience when this pandemic hit hard in Houston?
Well, we were scared because, of course, we had all these patients from the Far East, China, and everything. So we're really terrified. So we got all the PPE. We're dressed as if in the first few weeks, we dressed as if we were going to outer space. We had the space suit, all the masks, we had everything just to try and survive. And then a pharmacy colleague called me and said that they were using hydroxychloroquine in China and in Spain. They were using hydroxychloroquine and in Italy. So I said, wow, if it's hydroxychloroquine, I'm used to the medication. So we basically started using it. I started using the malaria dose for the patients. And I found out that they were doing extremely well. We would treat patients early with hydroxychloroquine. We add Zitromax and, you know, put them on zinc. We also heard about the Zelenko protocol and everything. So we started treating patients and they were doing extremely well. I was so excited. I went on Facebook. I started talking to physicians. Oh my God, imagine, hydroxychloroquine works. These COVID patients, they are getting better. If they come early, within a day or two, they are better. To my greatest surprise, I got attacked. They attacked me.
You got attacked for healing people. What is wrong with you? Don't you know doctors are just supposed to be political figures, healing actual human beings? That's a side issue. Okay, so I have to imagine, to be perfectly blunt, you're a woman, you are black, you have an accent. It strikes me that if you were a 6'3" white guy from Harvard Medical School, it would be different. Now, maybe I'm just projecting. I wish I were. But you're telling me that you have straight-up medical success. You're excited. You're actually excited. And so what happened when you went out with this information? And by the way, what was the month? Where were we in 2019 when this good news hit you and you wanted to tell the world?
This was in April. No, this was in April 2020. It was not 2019.
Okay, so April of 2020, I'm sorry, 2020, yes. Yeah. So April of 2020, this is right in the beginning of this craziness.
Yes.
And were you the first one? Was it as a result of you that this controversy exploded? Where were you in that timeline?
Not really. Actually, Dr. Zelenko had treated patients, a Jewish guy in New York. Then we had Dr. Raoul, who was a French virologist that was treating patients. We also had even Dr. Armstrong out here in Lake City in Texas treated patients, and they got the same reaction. They got attacked. I was so shocked. I was like, no, this works. And they said, oh, no, we need a double-blinded control studies. I said, no, we don't. We're treating patients, and the patients are doing better. So it was crazy. So they started attacking me on Facebook. They kicked me off the big doctor groups and They kicked me off the big doctor groups. You know, when we had these big doctor groups online where we'll share ideas. So they just kicked me off after I kept saying it works, it works. I fought with a few doctors like, no, this works. You guys need to treat patients. They said, no, it doesn't work. We did a double-blinded study. Fauci says it doesn't work. No, no, no. So it was
okay,
crazy.
Okay, so the question everybody has, and I want to hear it from you because you're a doctor.
Yes.
What do you think was going on? In other words, we're talking about life and death. So it's hard for me not to get angry because we're talking about life and death. You find something that works and you feel, it strikes me the way you're relaying the story, that it was not just some people, that it was almost like there was a memo that we have to shut it down. They got excited. I mean, am I misreading it? Am I overstating this idea? What was your sense as a doctor when you started to get this pushback?
At that time, I thought it was crazy. And then we talked to other doctors that were having success, like Brian Proctor, that is up in McKinney, Texas. We were talking to other doctors, and we were excited. But it was just crazy. We were like, no, why is this happening? So, and of course, because I tell people I'm a woman of science and a woman of the spirit, in March, just before the virus hit, I went to the Lord when this was coming out of China, and the Lord showed me, I had this really weird dream. And in this dream, I saw like there was like a contracture in the heavens, and these rays were being released on the earth, and people were dying. A lot of people were dying. This was before anybody died in America. So I started telling people, I did a message about it. I put it on YouTube. I said, please let us pray. Death is about to come to the nation. It's going to get crazy. People are going to die. A lot of people are going to die. And everybody just said, oh, come on, Dr. Emmanuel, you're too intense. So I kind of left
you're too intense. Listen, don't you know that medical science and faith can't mix. That's strike three. A spirit-filled doctor from Africa. Forget about it. You're out. They can't. This is too disturbing to the paradigm, to more than one paradigm. Yeah. There are many Christians that are disturbed by the same paradigm. So you're telling me, you know this is true, okay, that you come from Africa, you're spirit-filled, you start talking about God said this or God that. Immediately, they don't have the ability to be rational anymore. As far as they're concerned, it's over, you're crazy, no more, nothing to discuss. But a lot of these other doctors are not spirit-filled Christians from Africa. Zelenko and others, they were having, you're telling me, similar success, and they were also being shut down.
Yes, they were also being shut down. So we started meeting each other just because we're fighting online, you know, on Twitter, on Facebook. We started meeting each other with all the other doctors and talking and fighting, trying to just get across to people, treat patients. And then we started hearing Sanjay Gupta saying, oh, hydroxychloroquine can stop your heart. We started hearing other doctors, Fauci, saying it doesn't work. I went and read through, and the article that made me actually start using hydroxychloroquine was an article that was written under Anthony Fauci in 2005, where they said chloroquine was a potent inhibitor of SARS-CoV-1. That was the article that made me start using hydroxychloroquine. SARS-CoV-1 was a coronavirus, and they are very similar. So that is what made me start using hydroxychloroquine. So I was very shocked when I heard Fauci says it doesn't work. In fact, recently his email came to show that he himself was taking hydroxychloroquine, giving it to his friends, and telling other people not to take it. So it was just crazy.
Okay, we're gonna go to a break. Right. Forgive me, Dr. Emmanuel. Folks, I'm talking to Dr. Stella Emmanuel. It doesn't get bigger than this, folks. We're talking about people lying and people dying. This is not a metaphor. This is horrific in the United States. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is very important. I hope you're listening. I'm talking to Dr. Stella Emmanuel. By the way, she has a book out. I want to talk about the book. It's called Let America Live, Exposing the Hidden Agenda Behind the 2020 Pandemic, My Journey. So, Dr. Emmanuel, you are a seasoned medical doctor, and you found yourself, I guess, for the first time in your life, bumping up against some very strange, creepy political pushback. What do you think was going on?
At that time, a lot of people just thought, because the president had mentioned hydroxychloroquine, that's why everybody was kicking against it. And then we started having news out of France that they had taken hydroxychloroquine over the counter way before COVID hit. We started having attacks on other doctors. By like May, I'm thinking this is not right. This is no longer science, because if it was science and I told you that I treated 300 patients or 100 patients, you should want to come and see it. You should be happy. They should be like, okay, what are you doing so that we can duplicate it? You should not attack me. At that point, I tell a lot of the doctors, I said, you know, there's something spiritual going on. Of course, the doctors didn't want to hear about spiritual stuff. They say, you know what, just stick to hydroxychloroquine. I'm talking about my colleagues. And at some point, I said, no, this is not spiritual. This is a propaganda battle. And this is a battle of good versus evil. So I basically took off the doctor coat and I told him, I said, you guys want a street fight? I'm going to give you a street fight. So I started attacking the people back. When I go on Facebook, if I say something or I see any doctor or any one of those, I call them those AI doctors. I'll tell you about that a little bit later. That says, oh, it doesn't work, or we did a study. I'll just go after them and I'll give them data and I'll talk to them. And at some point I said, what's wrong with you? You want to kill people? I mean, I told one ER doctor at some point, I said, just tell me the shifts where you work in that hospital in New York and I can go back and show you every person that you killed. So I actually just started going after them. So when I started going after them, they started backing off. This is where we were when we met the American Frontline Doctors, and they had this conference in D.C. When I was going to D.C., I knew that there was something really serious going on. I called my family. I said, I'm going to D.C. I'm going to expose this. I'm going to speak up for the people. I'm not going to back down. If I perish, I perish. I told them, if I don't come back from D.C., it is okay. I will know that I fulfilled my destiny, but I'm not going to let Americans die. That is where I was when I got to D.C., ready to throw everything, ready to be killed if I had to be killed. So that day, I did not know that God had just planned to open the heavens and just take this around the whole world. So when I stood in front of the Supreme Court that day and I said, nobody needs to die. If this is the hill where I get nailed on, this is the hill where I get nailed on, something popped in the spirit. I think it was a watershed moment. Before that, the whole world was caged in fear. All the nations were caged in fear. So as I spoke that day, the Holy Spirit used my voice and used his power to just break fear over the whole world. It was just something popped in the spirit. That is why I was attacked the way I was attacked, because they knew that I was not just speaking as a physician. I was speaking with the backup of the Holy Spirit. I just believe that's what happened.
Well, we know at the heart of everything is a political battle. But for those people that don't see that, it's also a political battle. In other words, the spiritual battle is beneath everything. But the political battle, why would somebody like Anthony Fauci try to dismiss the efficacy of something like ivermectin or hydrochloroquine? Why do you think they would do that? What is the explanation that would cause them to do that? Can you tell us, you're as a doctor, why you think they would do such a thing?
As a doctor, I actually would say, I don't know. But as a woman of the spirit, I think he is evil.
Look, we have no doubt it's evil. We know it's evil. But I'm saying that you have to wonder how it is that this became politicized, that life is less important than something. I mean, many people have said it's big pharma. They're going to make billions off of the vaccine. And if you say ivermectin or hydrochloroquine can be used as a therapeutic, if it's a therapeutic that could work, they will say, we can't have a vaccine. An emergency vaccine can only be put through if there's no therapeutic. So would that be the natural explanation?
That would be a natural explanation on the surface. I actually do believe that that the whole of COVID is a Trojan horse of vaccines. I mean, there are documents coming out of China now. And, you know, I mean, I think Anthony Fauci is being even investigated in the Congress. That show that this virus was manufactured in the lab, or this virus, they had a gain of function. When they have gain of function, it's for one reason, it's a bioweapon. There's no reason why they should take a virus and try to make it more virulent to humans. So, and this is coming out now that Anthony Fauci was aware, the INH was aware, and they contributed money in this lab in Wuhan to create this virus. So this is a Trojan horse.
Well, I mean, we're talking about a few things here. First of all, in the natural, okay, I can understand why somebody would do gain-of-function research. I'm not saying I agree with it. It seems like a crazy thing, but I can see why someone would do that. But then the question is, why would you do it in China? Why wouldn't you expect the Chinese government, which controls everything, to use it? Let's say it escaped without anybody trying to let it escape. Let's give China the benefit of the doubt. They then said, we're going to have no travel, we're going to shut down Wuhan, and we're going to let people travel to the around the world. So this would be an act of war.
Yes.
So the question becomes, what happens then? We're going to go to a break. We're going to be right back and get the rest of the story. Folks, Dr. Stella Emanuel, the book is Let America Live. I hope you get a copy. We'll be right back.
Hear the latest reporting and analysis on the big stories of the day on the Daybreak Insider podcast. It's top-notch reporting from SRN News, along with the sharpest insight from Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, and the voices of townhall.com. The Daybreak Insider podcast. It's your first look at today's top stories. Available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
folks. I'm talking to Dr. Stella Emanuel. Thrilled, Dr. Emanuel, to have you. Congratulations on the book, Let America Live. It's amazing to talk to a medical doctor on the front lines in the COVID battle who has a wildly different take than the media establishment, the medical establishment. Let me ask you something. The news I keep getting about vaccines would make me think, definitely don't get it, that there are all kinds of risks involved. You don't know what can happen. I hear about women having late-term miscarriages, and it seems like the media suppresses that information and keeps pushing the vaccines. What is your view as a doctor on the situation with the vaccines?
I would say the vaccine, COVID itself was a Trojan horse for vaccine, and I do believe that this vaccine is gene therapy. And I'm not saying that lightly. I'm not saying that as a conspiracy theorist. I'm actually saying that because it is. For example, if you tie Zach, the Moderna CEO, actually saying that they're hacking the human software. And if you look at what people like Amy Cruz or people like Charles Morgan that work with DARPA, they'll tell you that they are trying to create a human 2.0 and modify our brains because it's archaic. There's a lot of demonic. There's a lot of demonic undertone over what is going on. And I think that humanity has to wake up. Not just wake up, we have to look at this battle as a spiritual battle. And if we think it's science, it's way past science. Because if it was science, they would do things that, they will not do the things that they are doing. For example, masking people when masks don't work. I tell people, I said, you know, wearing those bandanas over our faces to filter COVID is like putting up a chain link fence to filter mosquitoes. So they don't work, but they are making people do it. Then the survival rate of the virus is so low, and they are making people take a vaccine. Even people that have had the virus, they are making them take a vaccine. That is not science. If you had the flu, they didn't make you take the flu shot. You understand what I'm saying? Children barely had the disease, and they're making them take the shot. If you go right now, a few weeks ago, they had a meeting, the World Economic Forum met, and they were sending 1 billion vaccines to Africa. Right now, they are making people take vaccines in places where the virus does not even exist, per se. In Nigeria, where COVID probably seeded Nigeria at the same time it seeded into America. But because the people that were living in Wuhan and going to Nigeria, they were required to take malaria medications. They got to Nigeria, and the virus did not seed into Nigeria. Till today, go to places where you have ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine over the counter, where people get a fever, they go out and they get this stuff. If you go to those places, at that time, you go to those places, they don't have much of the virus going on. So these are things that are so obvious. I tell humanity, wake up. Wake up and see that what they are doing is evil. They are masking us. Just think about this. You go to the airport, you're standing 6 feet apart. You go to check-in, you're standing 6 feet apart. You get on the plane, you're sitting chooped up in a compressed air environment for 2, 3, 4 hours. And then when you come out again, they expect you to stand 6 feet apart. Can humanity wake up?
Let me ask you about the vaccine. Would you advise people not to get the vaccines?
I will not take the vaccine for several reasons. As a Christian, if you go to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 13, from verse 14 to 16, it says that the devil will deceive those that are in the earth, and they will make images unto the devil. And God, he will have power to give life to those images, that they will speak, and they will cause all those that will not take the mark to be killed.
I think the reason you're getting pushback from people is because you bring up the book of Revelation. Where, in other words, you and I are on the same page, but for people who are just saying, look, is it a good idea medically to get the vaccine? Let's say I'm 25 years old. People say get the vaccine. You want to go to restaurants. You would say don't get the vaccine for a medical reason?
Medical. Yeah.
And what's the downside to getting the vaccine for a medical reason?
There's a lot of side effects. We see a lot of patients. We've seen over 70,000 patients. We see sick patients coming in from the vaccine. We see sick patients that did not take the vaccine. So the vaccine actually has not worked. And we have a lot of people. I had a lady, a friend, came in the other day, took the vaccine, had a miscarriage within 4 days. People are losing their children. People are losing their fertility. This vaccine is gene therapy. This vaccine is dangerous. It's not tried. It's not tested. And, of course, in actually gene therapy, And we should not have gene therapy. It's not a vaccine. It's gene therapy.
Well, so my question is, do we see women having increased late-term miscarriages who get the vaccine?
Yes, yes.
So babies are dying. Babies are dying because of the vaccine. Yes.
If you go to VAERS, they have the VAERS report. If you go to the vaccine adverse event report, there's a lot of adverse events that are taking place in this vaccine. So much so that they should have stopped it a long time ago, because regularly, if you have 50 deaths, they stop a vaccine program. But they are plowing through with everything, and they are censoring people. They are blocking people that are saying that they've gotten adverse effects from this vaccine. But this is spiritual, and I want to get the spiritual part out, because everybody knows about these side effects, but I don't think they know the depth of the spiritual battle that we're fighting. We've seen over 70,000 patients. I tell people, this is a spiritual battle. This is an invisible battle. If you're going to resist, number one, get on hydroxychloroquine, get on ivermectin for prevention, because it can stop you from getting the virus. We see patients all the time and have not gotten sick. You know what I'm saying? Get your vitamins, get your immunity as you fight the battle. If you go to our website, drstellamd.com, you can get all that.
drstellamd.com.
Yes, Dr. Stella, drstellamd.com.
drstellamd.com, okay?
The most important thing that I address in my book, I address the whole journey. I address the spiritual battle, and I address why America got to this place where they seem to have caged us and we are the prey. And the last part of the book, I talk about a 10-point plan to disciple America back to God. You know what I'm saying? The book is sci-fi. The book has science. It has religion. The book has Jesus. And the book has what we are dealing with on a spiritual level. And we need to get that. Everybody is just interested in the fluff. We, the church, as the church in America, or the church worldwide, we have to fight this battle as a spiritual battle. I've told my colleagues all the time, these people that are pushing this vaccine, pushing all these lockdowns, pushing all these things, they are spiritual people. They work with the devil. And the people that are fighting back are working on empty. If we keep working on empty, we're going to lose. If we keep doing the fluff and say, okay, you know, we're not going to get spiritual because, well, that is uncomfortable. We need to get uncomfortable. If you read in Revelation 13, verse 14 to 16, the Bible talks about images being made, and that the devil has power to give life to these images.
We're going to come back. A final segment with Dr. Stella Emanuel. Forgive me, Dr. Emanuel. We're going to be right back, folks. Don't go away. Hey there, folks. I have the privilege of talking with Dr. Stella Emanuel, who is a medical doctor who is a quote-unquote spirit-filled Christian. I am a spirit-filled Christian. I'm not a medical doctor. So it's fascinating, Dr. Emanuel, to talk to you, because I know that everything ultimately is a spiritual battle, but we have so many people in America and so many Christians that are nowhere near accepting this, and as soon as they hear it, their eyes glaze over, they have to walk away. You're saying that taking the vaccine is the real issue, that for some reason it's being pushed on us to take the vaccine. Why do you think it is being pushed on people? In other words, if I get one of these vaccines, what's being introduced into my body, and why would somebody want this to be introduced into my body?
Eric, this is what I'm going to say, right? And I take authority over any power, any spirit, any principality that wants to block people from hearing what I'm saying in the name of Jesus. Any mind-blinding spirit, I take authority over them and I silence them, that the voice of the Holy Spirit will go forth and not the voice of the enemy, and people will wake up out of their spiritual slumber in Jesus' name. Let me say that so that when people hear me, and I want them to hear me clearly. If you read in the Bible in Revelation 13, 14 to 16, it said the devil would make people make images, he would deceive human beings to make images unto him. And he will have power to give life to these images, that they will speak and they will cause all those that will not take the mark to be killed. And that those that will take the mark of the beast, the name of the beast, and the number of his name, you will not be able to buy or sell without taking the mark, the name, or the number of his name. Second scripture, In the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 42 to 44, they have a scripture, a situation where Daniel was describing the end times, and Nebuchadnezzar saw this image. In that dream, Daniel interpreted the legs of that image that was miry clay mixed with iron. He said, as iron mixes with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of man, and they shall not cleave together. So the toes, or the last kingdom, will be a mingled seed, just like in the days of Noah. The Bible also says, even in the book of in Matthew chapter 24, that it will be now like it was in the days of Noah. I'm just going to say it, and I want the church to hear this. We're living in a time when there's a mingled seed in the land. Do you understand? And you have to hear this and know it. Revelation 13 says they will make images unto the beast, and the devil will have life, power to give life to these images. You see all these Gates and Fauci's and everything that are trying to push this vaccine, trying to push this gene therapy. You have people like Klaus Schwab saying that by 2040 or 45, everybody should be a human GMO. Do you understand what I'm saying? They don't want us to have our human self anymore. If you go through this vaccine, the Moderna vaccine is made with luciferase. The lipid nanoparticle used for the Moderna vaccine is luciferase. That is the name of the beast. You can Google this. You understand what I'm saying? We have, if you Google Charles Morgan and Google Amy Cruz, they are saying that they want to upgrade the human mind. So humanity, wake up. We're dealing with a mingled seed. We're dealing with an evil seed in the land. I tell people all the time, they look like you and I. In the book of Genesis, they were 30-foot giants. But today, they look like you and I. The devil wants to corrupt humanity. He wants to corrupt your gene. He wants to make you become a chimera, make you become a human 2.0. They say our brains need to be upgraded.
This is transhumanism. The sound is difficult for me to hear, so we're going to have you back, because this is so deep. This is so significant. Mm-hmm. I'm just so grateful to you. I know in your book you go into some of this stuff. The book is Let America Live. We're talking to Dr. Stella Emanuel, and you can find out more at drstellamd.com. drstellamd.com. Dr. Stella Emanuel, God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, sir.